Well, we all know it. Times are hard for the print media as the online sphere continues to erode their readership. Fairfax Media CEO Greg Hywood earlier this month revealed publishing revenues for the Metro division, which includes The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald, are down 9% for the quarter. Fairfax is not alone. In February, the editor-in-chief of The Australian, Chris Mitchell, admitted the paper hasn't been profitable since 2008. A beacon of hope for most publishers has been to create their own apps, though so far these haven't made up for the losses in print. Joining us now with News on the News is our tech editor, Peter Marks. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Fran.
What's wrong with the current crop of news apps? Is it something wrong with them, or it's just building, a slow build?
Look, I think that they're still echoing the old edition nature of the newspapers. The Fairfax apps, while they're pretty good, they still update in the morning and in the evening, and they don't really embrace what people want on a mobile, the kind of thing that you get when you go to Facebook or Twitter, that kind of hit. The mastheads had a hard time. You remember when they first started their websites about 15-20 years ago, because they didn't want to cannibalise their own content, so they'd hold stuff back for tomorrow's newspaper. And I think there's still a little bit of that culture there. They're not really good. They've had to all make apps now, and they're not really great at doing it. But as you know, if you want a pretty good rundown of what's going on around the world, you just go to news.google.com or one of the other aggregators, and we have new players like Apple in here too.
Yeah, Apple's just launched their news app last month, and for those of us with the latest iPhones, I might find it there on the face of it, but it's not really lived up to expectations.
Not so far. I mean, people had great hopes for it. It's been really force-installed. If you are updated to iOS 9.1...
Yeah, it just appears.
It just appears on your home screen on your iOS device. It's a red icon, and Tim Cook said 1 month in, they had 40 million users. It only launched in Australia when 9.1 came out, so a few weeks ago. It's very slow to update. It's got this For You section, which is designed to learn what you like and show you, but it often takes about 30 seconds to update. It's just crazy.
30 seconds? I can't wait 30 seconds.
Exactly, yeah. Now, I mean, it's also a little bit mystifying. It is recommending for you, but it's hard to understand how it does it. Some stories are big, some are small, and obviously there's meaning in that, but people don't really understand it. So some of the publishers who've agreed to put their content in there have been critical. The CEO of Time Inc., Joe Ripp, expressed his frustration with the performance on Apple News. He was expecting more numbers. He also complains that they don't provide the analytics that he would get if you went to their website. So maybe that's actually a benefit to end users. But currently, also the stories are just purely in reverse chronological order. So there's no way for publishers to say, no, I want to pin this story to the top.
It's the top story. You can't make it the headline story.
No.
Yeah, that's a real drawback, isn't it? But the point is, though, are people really heading to news apps? Is that what they're going to do when everyone's already heading to knows that they get to Twitter, they get the stories that are sort of trending and big and breaking.
That's right.
And Twitter is getting a bit more serious about being a news service. There's a thing called Twitter Moments.
That's right. So when there's a big story, I mean, you'll either be following people or a hashtag will emerge in that story. But Twitter Moments, which hasn't launched yet in Australia, is a new tab in the Twitter app that lets you follow a story rather than a person or a hashtag. Moments is actually curated by staff, and they've just been hiring here in Australia. They've got some experienced journalists like Luke Hopwell, who you will hear on RN sometimes, ex-Gizmodo, and Jonathan Harley, who's ex-Nine Network.
So, and ex-ABC and a fabulous journalist.
Right. So these people are going to be actually humanly curating what are the news stories that will appear in Twitter Moments. And I guess that means that they won't be using sort of artificial intelligence methods or that sort of thing. So it's a more personal journalist-based choice of what is the big story.
Yes, I'm not so familiar with Luke, but Jonathan Harley, a former ABC correspondent, very serious journalist. So the investment there does suggest they're going to have a strong commitment to news.
They've got boots on the ground in Australia.
So to speak. The availability of strong encryption, Peter, is being blamed now for the failure of the intelligence services in France to predict those terrorist attacks. At first, it was all organised offshore, and therefore there couldn't have been any online chatter because nothing was picked up. It must have been all done face-to-face somehow. I don't know how that would have worked. But now the suggestion is it was strong encryption, and some of the agencies are saying, well, that means all of us should stop being able to use encryption.
That's right. For some time, the security services have been saying, look, the public can encrypt so well that it's very difficult for us to scoop up all of their messages. The Paris attackers are reported to have used encryption technology. I'm saying that in quotes because that could mean anything. It could mean HTTPS. And that was in an article in the New York Times.
Are we talking about when we're talking encryption technology?
Well, I guess
we're talking about WhatsApp.
WhatsApp is a good example. iMessage. These are end-to-end encrypted messaging systems that people people can use. Now, Apple's encryption is very good, and you might note that recently Apple have been deluged by police demands to decrypt phones, and they're saying that they cannot do it. They physically can't do it because the encryption is done in hardware, and so, you know, there's no back door there. And there are systems that will try and break your PIN by typing in every possible PIN, but in iOS 9, it actually makes you wait longer and longer each time. So it's clear that terrorists and other criminals do use encryption for doing their dastardly deeds. But of course, encryption is important to everyone, because if we only have weak encryption, then criminals will be able to decrypt our business messages and our own private messages as well. So it's kind of it's collateral damage. I mean, we have tried in the past to stop strong encryption being exported. There was a classic book, Bruce Schneier's Applied Cryptography. Great book, was actually banned as a munition from being exported from the US. And people actually tattooed the algorithms on their body and went through customs to illustrate how easy it was to get those out.
It's a bit like the sort of drugs and sport thing, where we feel like the cheats are always just a bit in front in terms of the chemical breakthroughs of the testing, and there's always a catch up. So now we've got all these metadata laws brought in to try and sort of track us down through our metadata. And so everyone, the encryption gets stronger.
And we do need strong encryption just for business, to stop espionage, and just, you know, our own private emails shouldn't be able to be decrypted along the wire.
But Peter, I'm not sure what you think about this notion that this must have been a failure of intelligence, because there must have been chatter out there. I mean, we know the French authorities, after the Charlie Hebdo attacks, were very focused on this. They would be soaking up so much, wouldn't they?
I think it's undeniable that everything has been, all the metadata is certainly being soaked up. I mean, there's crazy stories. It's too early to tell about Paris. I mean, there's stories that they had a Sony PlayStation in the flat they were staying in, and maybe they were using that to send messages somehow. It's too early to tell, or perhaps, as you say, they just were not chattering online at all.
All right, Peter, thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Peter Marks is our technology editor. He's also an app developer, knows a fair bit about all of this stuff. And you can hear more of Peter on RN's Download This Show.